Dear Heavenly Father, we would ask that you once again speak to our hearts. We thank you for your word of truth. We thank you, Lord, the insight that we can know you, the Holy One, the Creator, Redeemer. We pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, today is the last message in this series in James. I hope you've gotten just even a fraction out of it, what I have through these last several weeks. I think 14 messages in James. And we're not going to, I had thought about doing a summary, but I would encourage you to go back through and look at all of the different themes that James has presented to us, and the dominant themes of faith, our tongue, how we speak to and about one another, wisdom, true wisdom versus earthly wisdom. You know, honestly, the last message in these verses 13 to 20, and I read them and I saw all the issues that could develop, and I thought, Lord, why can't you just let me end on an easy one? But no, we're going to speak about divine healing this morning, among other things, pursuing sinners. And my mind, you know, I go to that, and I thought, you know, it's such a huge subject. But as with everything, when we just bow before the task and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to learn? What do you want me to pass on? And who was I speaking to? Oh, I know it was, I remember now, a friend speaking somewhere. And he said, I'm just asking, Lord, what do you want me to tell these people? And I thought, good for you, because sometimes we don't have that attitude. Now we're going, when you're progressing through a book, and you know, Bible exposition and verse by verse or section by section, that dictates a text. But we want to be honest in that endeavor. And we can come to real challenges, and sometimes it can be easy just to kind of slide through things, but we just can't do that. And when we go ahead, and then in our lives personally, because sometimes we create more questions than we have answers for. But what you will find, too, is when we pursue God in His truth, that He will take us to places, He will teach us things, that and we just sit back and we're just amazed and we say, thank you, God, for helping me to remain faithful to the task. As I said, this morning we approach the subject of divine healing, the prayer of faith, and bringing sinners back from wandering from the truth. Some questions for us. Does God promise to heal everyone? Why do we ask for healing? That's a big one. When we approach God for healing, do we follow His prescription? Do we examine our lives, our motives before God? Confess sin? Are we intent on living out the will of God in our lives? Could a person seek healing contrary to the will of God? Why do we assume that when we become sick, that God would want to heal us? Where do we get the information upon which we base that assumption? Is it possible that we could be operating on a human assumption that actually opposes the work of God in our lives? Psalm 119:67, the psalmist tells us, and this is not an isolated incident, it's an example, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. This is Psalm 119:67, if you'd like to write it down. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. Each of us needs to ask, why am I asking God to heal me? Is it possible that God knows that we need this illness or injury? Maybe even a bike accident. Is he that wise and knowing? Could God really have that much foresight and insight to know just what we need in our lives? Lo and behold, even better than what we know we need in our lives. Paul himself was given a thorn in the flesh, for which he prayed 3 times to be rid of. Did Paul not have enough faith? Paul did not heal everyone around him, even those close to him in ministry. Why didn't Paul just heal Timothy instead of telling him to, you know, the verse we're familiar with, Timothy, take a little wine for your stomach's sake. And so why did Paul, instead of just saying, Timothy, drink some wine, it'll help your stomach, medicinal value, why didn't Paul just heal him? Trophimus was sick. Epaphroditus was on his deathbed. Paul didn't go over and restore him to health. Why didn't Paul or one of the others just heal them? So why do we think that God has this great desire? I know this runs contrary to some of our thoughts on healing. I know it runs contrary to some of our thoughts on the goodness of God. But what we always have to do is we have to come back for Scripture. What are we basing our assumptions on? So why do we think that God has this great desire to heal us? With some groups, it's the absolute number one priority, it seems. Do we ever ask why? As in, why do we want to be healed? Will I better carry out the will of God? Am I concerned for the purposes of God? Or could it be that I just want to get on with my life? And if God is a good God, as he says he is, then he had better take care of me and heal me. He promised to do that, didn't he? So, why am I asking God to heal me? And what does God really promise? If you turn with me to James 5:13. James 5:13. You know, if I think I've been in for it preaching through Romans and been in for it preaching through some of these difficult passages in James, just wait till we hit Genesis. If you hear any screaming and moaning or pulling of hair out over here, wait till we hit Genesis, and it's like a zillion issues raised there in controversies. And you know what God has spoken to me? He said, just think what you're going to learn, Dave. Just think what you're going to learn, Dave. And just think what you can pass on to that good group of faithful people every Sunday. That's what God has God spoken in my heart. So it'll just going to be little old humble Pastor Dave when we start Genesis 3, because God's going to humble me, but I think God's going to speak through me too. And his blessed, powerful, living word. So let's read it. James 5:13. Is anyone among you suffering? Let him pray. Is anyone cheerful? Let him sing praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another, that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it did not rain on the earth. Then he prayed again, and heaven gave rain, and the earth bore its fruit. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. Verse 13, if we're suffering, take it to the Lord in prayer. What a friend we have in Jesus. If we're suffering, pray. It's almost like we could give a quiz this morning, although it wouldn't cover the last 2 verses. And the answer would be just say the answer is, well, pray. And so you'd ask the question, well, are you suffering? Well, pray. Are you happy? Well, pray. And praise in your prayer. Are you sick? Well, pray. Almost like the idea that God would want us praying a lot. And I've told you that you've been quite an influence on me. I prayed a bit, but I'm growing in my prayer life. Your influence, God using you in my life in that way. But are you suffering? Go to God in believing prayer. Now, see, our problem with some of these things is we go to God in prayer, but we don't listen. And it's back to, like, in chapter 1, ask God for wisdom, but don't waver. We can't be double-minded. See, we got earth goals and we got heaven goals. And the way we want to work it out is we want to be healthy, wealthy, and wise on earth, and then lay down and go to sleep and wake up in heaven. That's usually not God's plan, is it? So that's one of our problems in prayer. One of our problems in when we sometimes doubt the goodness of God, that when we pray, when we lay something before God, we really lay it before God. He tells us to pray for those in authority over us, and for kings and for rulers and just and all governmental authorities. And sometimes I didn't even intend to get off on that subject, because some of your minds, I'm sure, I'll have you going this way and that. But we lay all those things before God. We brought up in Sunday school, you know, the different things. Well, we bring it up and we pray. Because I think we could very realistically say it is kind of suffering when we see these things going on. And we project in our minds, and anxiety might start to build. Well, you pray. Put it all before God, but make sure it's a prayer of faith, that we're not wavering. We're not that double-minded person. We're not asking the God of heaven to work out my life on earth, and we're separating his plan from our plan. So if we're suffering, we had times when we're suffering, and God can, sometimes he provides an immediate resolution, doesn't he? But sometimes we're like that psalmist, and it says, before I was afflicted, I what? Went astray. We need that affliction. Oh, I hate to say that. You know what I mean? Because God said, oh, you need... You know what I'm saying, right? We need that. And then we come back and we say, God is good. And we praise God. And it's a good place. Would we still rather not have the suffering? Yes, human beings, we don't want that. But God does such good and powerful things. So is anyone suffering? Pray. Is anyone cheerful? Well, sing praise. Praise God. Make sure we praise God. Make sure we, you know, sometimes even, it, not just so we pray so that other people know that it's God giving this joy in our lives, doing these good things, but praise that, make sure we're reminding ourselves for where this joy. Carrie and I were driving to Springfield yesterday, and I have to admit I was a little giddy, and I said, well, you know, I think it's kind of God stirring in my soul, but I said, I'm trying to decide how much it's that and how much it's Springs around the corner. Well, God did both of those things, though, and he said we would always have the seasons. And so if we're joyful, if we're cheerful, praise, sing praise to God. Our text continues. It says, is anyone among you sick? Now we're getting into stuff, aren't we? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now, see, this is very interesting, because if you're like me, you haven't really slowed down to listen to this text, maybe as we should. And that's one of the good things of submitting to this method of preaching through a book of the Bible, that God just brings us to that. Because all this good insight, and here's one of the there's several, but here's one of the really key things that God spoke to me. It's the person who's sick who initiates. It's the person who's sick who initiates. It doesn't come from out here coming in, but it's the person who is sick. Hear what it is. Any among you sick? Let him or her call for the elders of the church. Now let me just pause here a little bit too, because typically we're not a charismatic church. We're not a Pentecostal church, and typically we're on the other side of is like those people concentrating too much on divine healing. And they do. I'm not saying they're not good brothers and sisters in Christ. Some of them aren't, but God will judge that. I don't have to. But there's too much of an emphasis on that. There's an emphasis that God doesn't put on that. But then you got people like us, and then I've got a, I didn't put it in. I put it on the web, though. Daniel Doriani, you might go in that post, and his experience. A college professor, a Presbyterian, and his experience with James 5:13. And coming up and having a sick friend and going to approach that. Our response, here's what I'm trying to say. I'll eventually get around to it. Sometimes we're afraid, people like us, we're afraid to ask God for healing. Well, a couple of reasons. Well, what if somebody thinks we're charismatic? There would be worse things, by the way, for somebody to mistake us for. Let me just put in a good word just in case you think I'm slamming charismatics today. You go to a lot of inner city works. In fact, Carrie and I, when we were graduating, we were exploring different avenues, inner city impact, and some of these. You could just about guess that it's going to be a charismatic involvement in these works. So don't think I'm anti-charismatic. I do disagree with their beliefs. I think they do emphasize the gifts of tongues and healings wrongly. But many, many good believers. So, but back on the other side, us, and we divine healing, and it says here, and oh my goodness, us, the elders, me and Gerald and Steve, and we're going to take a little bottle of oil and go anoint someone and pray. My goodness, what would people think? So we're a little afraid and we're a little hesitant, but boy, it does say it here in the Bible. Then the other thing is that we're afraid of, and I'm saying we because I don't want to just say me because it's a little embarrassing, even though it's true for me too. Me predominantly, maybe. Well, what if God doesn't heal that person? So let's just kind of keep it more over in a vague or a gray area. But as we look at actually what is happening in this text, and this is really the good stuff when we go ahead and we battle through our doubts and we battle through the big question marks that loom, we see a much different picture. I would just about guarantee that every one of us as we study through this will have a different picture than what we brought to that. This isn't a healing service for one thing. This is very personal. This is very... We examine our motives before God. That person, and that's why the question is so big. And because I said, well, the questions we might ask, why do you want to be healed? And the person might think, well, so I feel better. So I get over my disease. No, why do you want to be healed? Because in this context, it matters. In God's prescription for divine healing, it matters. Why do you want to be healed? Because you've got a good life, and if it just wasn't for this cancer, or if it wasn't for this, or if it wasn't for that, if God would just heal me, I can go right on living my good life. Maybe it's quiet defiance. Maybe it's passive defiance, but it's nonetheless in defiance to God, even though we're going to church every Sunday. We've got the good life here. Sometimes we love this life too much. Sometimes we're too in love with these lives that we have. And we just don't have enough thoughts. Our minds are not set in the heavenlies with Jesus Christ. See, all of these things come into play. Why do I want to get healed? Why am I approaching God for this? And on your study sheets, I may read this later, I may not, but on the back here, very excellent account Kent Hughes shares. No, you can't read it now. Well, you can if you can sneak. You can do like this, and it's excellent. But it's Amy Carmichael, and it's her beloved coworker Panamal, and It's interesting because it's not just their experience, but it's all the things that they went through, but because they were people who believed the Bible. And they were people who believed in a great God, people like us. And yet people who approached James 5:13 and following with a little bit of fear and trepidation like we do too. Well, does God really want us to do this? Because see, sometimes folks, our reaction to someone who is overemphasizing something is to pull so far back that now we're so far back of that truth that we are not hearing God. So let me just blurt out a couple of things, just in case I've asked too many questions and popped up too many question marks in that. I do believe there is a prescription. I do believe there would be a time and an opportunity that if, and it comes in, a person on their heart and that person's sick and God is speaking to them, all these things, I'm going to go into the verses a little bit later, I think it substantiates this, but that person, I need to have the elders come. And you initiate, and you call me, or you call Gerald, or you call Steve. And yes, we go get a little jug of oil. And you know one thing I couldn't find out? I couldn't find out what kind of oil anybody used. Also, by the way, this is not substantiation for the Catholic for last rites. It's not that at all. It's talking about healing a living person, not dealing with the sins of a dying person. There's not scriptural support for that. They're just in case, you know, we have that maybe in our backgrounds. This is not what this is. I remember, and Tim was his name. You'll never run across him, or I don't think you will, but I don't think it would matter. He was a big guy. He was very enthusiastic, but I could say in Jesus' name, hopefully, he was a little squirrely. He was a believer. He was an excitable believer. And he was a big guy, and he came one day. We had this men's group, and I was sharing with the men's group. I was like the Bible teacher for a while. Well, Tim brought him a bottle of holy oil. And he was trying to figure out, well, what can we do as a group? We're going to do us some anointing. Yeah, we're going to go. So we, and I can't remember. I do remember we, well, we didn't. I observed. But Tim anointed the doorway. Yeah. I don't know if you had stood still. Tim might have anointed me too, but he was, you know what we say, person was good-hearted. He wasn't directed as clearly as he should have been from Scripture. So we have things like that. It's like, oh, well, but it, yes. Yes, I think this needs to be part of our practice, part of our ministry. Well, let's get into some more of the details and see what comes about. If anyone among you is sick, verse 14, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. There's no, in this text, there's no reference to laying on of hands. There's no reference to any procedure. There's no reference to what kind of oil. I don't know. I guess if we're going to do it, we would make sure, check with some of you medical people, some oil that's not going to be an irritant to anybody's skin or anything like that. Just some kind of oil. It's not the oil. It's the movement of God. The oil is just a symbol. The oil is not the holy thing. God is the holy thing. But it does tell us to do it. And it doesn't separate it in an age, an intertestamental period, a transitionary period. It's just right here. So as I said a little earlier, yes, this is something that we need to consider and that we as we would do this. So Gerald, Steve, Merv, if God, someone gives us a call saying, I'm looking at James here, then we would follow up on that. But what we would do is we would ask that person if they've examined their lives. It says, the verse 15, the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, and if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. What we would see here then is it's not some kind of healing service and stand in line and get slain in the spirit or get hands put on you and that. It's very personal. and the person that do it, and we would approach it and say, are you examining your life before God? And also, and I have told you, we are blessed with the Word of God, and I have been blessed by some really good commentaries. And just men just standing out for their insight. And one of them also, it just mentioned with all this thought here, and says, well, you know, this prayer of faith, and what he believes is that, well, the Lord will save. Well, for one thing, there's different things that can mean. Now, some of your Bibles there have heal. Let me get my bifocals here. And the Lord will save the one who is sick, verse 15, and the Lord will raise him up. Some of your Bibles have heal there. Sorry about that. But what we're speaking, I'm going to have to pray for healing in a minute here. What it's speaking of, it is taking the entire person and their life, the examination of their life, their walk before God, their desire, back again to, why do you want to be healed? Do you absolutely want, God, your will be done? Or are you saying, you will heal me physically, because there's different ways that we are healed. And we cannot, in this text, we cannot ignore the spiritual healing that it is also talking about. In fact, that may be what is how you will be healed, in that God is sovereign. God works in his providence. He may choose to heal you physically and spiritually. But I do believe the promise is you will be healed. You will be saved in some way. It might not be how you were determining. But there will be definitely, if we follow this prescription, as one person called it, that there definitely will be the movement of God in your life, and not just your life, but in the lives of the elders. Because what some people also believe is that when the person goes, and specifically if they're praying for this healing, that the Holy Spirit, has also spoken to at least one of those elders, and God has said, I am going to heal that person. Now, if you don't get online and you want that account by Daniel Doriani, the college professor, Presbyterian, James commentator, I'll print that out for you. It is online. But see, this was way out of his safe zone. He said, you know, when my friend, and he said, I confronted James, and he said that, he said, you know, we do what Presbyterians do. And he said, we prayed and studied it for six more weeks and hoped he didn't die in between. But to shorten that, he said when they did have his friend, and I think maybe they did put, he did put his hand on his friend's shoulder. And he said he felt fire, he felt the Spirit of God in his arm during that time. Now, this is a Presbyterian, this isn't a Pentecostal, a charismatic. He said, no, that's the only time that happened. But he said, because God had put on his heart, I'm going to heal this man. And he felt that power through his arm, the power of God. I know it sounds out there, but I'm just saying what he recounted from the reference point there, this staid Presbyterian college professor. He said, now he did have other times when they met and they prayed over people. Sometimes they were healed physically, sometimes they were not. He said he never had it that dramatic before, but he knew at that minute that man was healed, and he said, and that man told him later. But see, the guy, this Doriani, he didn't tell anybody at the time. He was afraid to. What would they think of me? I'm saying, I got my hand on my friend's shoulder, and I feel electricity going through my arm and fire. And so he didn't tell anybody, and he ran into his friend. I can't remember how many days passed. He was healed. And the guy told him, said, I knew it, and he said, I did too. And then he related the story to him. See, if it's done as God tells us, something will happen. Let me give you an example, and it's different, but it's the same. I'll make it quick. We had a man in Traverse City, and they were two friends, and one of them had borrowed money from the other one, several thousand dollars. It's like someone said, if don't loan a friend money or you won't have a friend. If you can afford it, just give them the money, because otherwise, and this friendship went downhill. Well, the guy who had loaned the money, he said he didn't bear any ill will, and that, but he would like to meet, you know, have a group together. This person he loaned the money to was going to our church, and he did have an offense, so he approached him. He wanted to bring it before a group, so we went, you know, we followed Scripture as closely as we could, and we met one evening in our library. And and what we did was we read the Scripture, and we just started praying and asking God to speak to our hearts and examine each of us. Now, it's interesting, but there were, husband, wife, couple. There were maybe eight people there. Count the guy who loaned the money, the guy who borrowed the money. Every person there, the Spirit of God moved, and me included, moved in dramatically. There was a worship and praise, the movement, the Spirit of God speaking to us in everyone except for the man who loaned the money. I felt like what he was doing was it was a ruse. He was saying, oh, I'm not really upset about this. I don't really care. I tore the note up. I don't care if such and such pays it back. I just want to restore fellowship. But he was exposed. He was exposed. It was very evident. It was very evident that things did not go as he planned, but they went like everybody else. Well, first of all, they went like God had planned. See, we followed this prescription, this procedure that God's, and that's the same way here in this James. I believe if we follow this procedure, we won't understand all of this, but if you're ill and if you're seeking God and you're saying, God, I do want your will no matter what. I want whatever healing, God, spiritually or physically, that you would perform in my life, that I might better serve you, that I might bring you glory. And you have then on this other side, you have elders who are committed to the purpose, and we believe these scriptures, and we believe in a God who's this mighty, that if he so chooses, he would heal that person, even if they were terminally ill. We would believe God, and then we leave it all in God's hands. And it talks about our prayer. It says, you know, Elijah, one commentator, he said that, you know, it didn't say Elijah the prophet. It said Elijah, a guy like us. Elijah, just a guy like us, and he prayed fervently, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And then he prayed again, and it did rain, and the earth bore fruit. What's God trying to tell us? Pray. But pray earnestly. Pray believingly. And sometimes we go through the motions. I do. I do sometimes go through the motions, but more and more I'm not. More and more, just in fact, sometimes I start, and I start in sincerity, and God just grabs me. And we have those, and we have those. We have Wednesday prayer meetings, and God just enters a room, and he just bonds us together. The last two verses here, and we will take the time to do that. This is the last James. We'll go a little bit over, but it won't be. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. What's the big thing we can take away from that is, and God really spoke to my heart, don't give up on someone. We've got an example of that. The man had been mentioned for prayer that said it seemed to really did lived for the Lord years ago in the last several years away from that. We have those family members. We have those friends. At one time, it seemed they believed. It seemed they believed they were pursuing God and his truth. Now they're here and they're there. I have good friends come to mind. I haven't heard from them in years. We tried to maintain contact and they didn't reciprocate. Don't know where they are now. But the stakes are high. Don't give up on them. It says here that let that person know, the person that doesn't give up. If anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save a soul from death. This gospel that we have. Maybe they came close to the truth, but they didn't come to the truth. Maybe they came to church for a while, maybe even a good while, but now their last 10 years they've been out here or been out there. Don't give up, because if we go out there and if we present the Lord to them, maybe God will speak and will save a soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. And I think that just speaks of the power, the wonder-working power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And those are the thoughts that James leaves us with. If you're suffering, pray. If you're joyful, then sing praises to God. If we're sick, then we've got a prescription here. We've got a procedure to follow, a biblical procedure that God will honor if we follow that, even if it takes some of us outside of our comfort zone. Then, that's really a good place to be if it's God doing the leading outside of our comfort zone. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise you again and again for your word, your holy, divine, sharp, powerful, living word that cuts inside of us and reveals your light and changes us, renews us, the transforming of our minds. We praise you, Mighty One. We pray anyone here today, all of us here today, need to take this to heart. That we wouldn't let it go, Lord. We wouldn't let these seeds drop off as we pass out the door. But that we would allow you, Almighty God, to push them deep into our lives and bring this about. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.